This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. There's been a lot of talk about marijuana at the state capitol lately, both recreational and medical. So the researchers at the Wisconsin Policy Forum decided to take a look at this broad issue by focusing on medical marijuana. In its report titled Clearing the Air, it compares the laws in 33 states that currently have some sort of medical marijuana law. Researchers found evidence that pushes back on claims made by both advocates and critics of medical marijuana. WUWM's Angelina Mosher-Salazar discusses the report with Ari Brown, a data and research analyst at the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
Thank you so much for joining me in the studio.
Yeah.
So let's look at an argument that's made by people who are not advocates of medical marijuana. And one of those prominent arguments has been, listen, if we legalize medical marijuana here in Wisconsin, we are on the fast track to legalizing recreational marijuana. Tell us what you found.
So that's only partially true. We found that almost all of the states that do have recreational marijuana pass their medical marijuana law through a ballot initiative. And currently, Illinois is the only state that passed their medical marijuana law through their legislature and then went on to get recreational marijuana.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Ari, it's not possible in Wisconsin for the people to vote on this as a popular ballot initiative, correct? So the only way moving forward is if somebody introduces this in the legislature as a bill.
Correct. So Wisconsin does not have a ballot initiative process in the same way that states have that have gone about this through a ballot initiative do. So Wisconsin, you can't just say we want this on the ballot and we're going to vote for it and it becomes law.
Let's look at an argument that's made by the other side, one that has been brought up a lot by advocates of medical marijuana, which is you're going to generate a lot of revenue on this because you're going to be able to tax this. This is not something that's going to be underground. What did you find, Ari?
Yeah, so you heard a lot of that argument, I think, when states started to pass recreational marijuana laws, that this was kind of going to be this really big stream of revenue. It was going to be very consistent, and it was going to be something that could really help transform the way that revenue was looked at the state level. And we found that with medical marijuana, that's simply not the case. In a lot of these states, you know, states will even apply their state and local sales tax, which is what you'd have, you know, at your very base level, just going to a store and buying a product. And they'll also apply some sort of a producer tax on top of that, an excise tax, gross receipts tax. So this product will be taxed at a higher rate than most regular products are. And even still, most states that we could find information on, their revenue wasn't more than about $10 million a year. We only found a couple states that really published good, reliable numbers on this, but they ranged anywhere from a couple $100,000 to about $10 million, which when you think about it, and when we dove into the numbers, makes a lot of sense. Medical marijuana is not meant to be for everyone to access in the state. Every state except one writes in the conditions that they're going to allow people that have those conditions to go to a dispensary and purchase medical marijuana. So that really limits the stream and the number of people who can go into a dispensary and purchase, which then in turn will limit the amount of, you know, sales and thus sales taxes. So it's not going to be something year over year that's going to be a consistent and large revenue stream for states.
Moving forward, what you're saying is, listen, no matter what policymakers are going to do on this issue, they have three things that they really need to look at. One, who is going to be eligible for medical marijuana? And I'm really curious about this. Is this like a 17-year-old with like a herniated disc or a rolled ankle? Or like, no, only if you're above the age of 50 and you have arthritis? Like, tell me what you found.
So we really found, personally, this is one of the things that I found most interesting researching this. There's a huge disparity between the conditions that states have as part of their medical marijuana legislation. So one state that we looked at really closely that I think is pretty interesting is Oklahoma. So Oklahoma, of all 33 states that at some point have had a medical marijuana law, Oklahoma is the only state that did not write qualifying conditions as part of their law. So what they basically said was there are no qualifying conditions. Any physician can kind of make a judgment call as to whether or not someone would be eligible for medical marijuana. And what's happened in that state, this is a law that was passed in 2018. So the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority recently released some numbers. They have, I believe, about 180,000 people on their state registry, which is an extremely high number regardless of state population. We did the math. It was about 4.5% of the state population is on their medical marijuana registry, which compared to other states you'll have, you know, less than 1%, around 1%, maybe up to 2%. But Oklahoma took a really kind of divergent path there. In the other states that do have their conditions written in, we kind of found that a couple main conditions were big precursors to a lot of people jumping onto the state registry. The main one of those being chronic pain. So Arizona, I believe, was at like 90%, and we found three or four more states where it was at least a majority. Another big one that has been kind of popping up more recently is PTSD. So that's another one that states will have begun kind of writing in. Another one that we found really interesting, and we've done research on this topic, very relevant right now, is opioids and opioid alleviation. So in the last couple years specifically, states have begun to write in, one of the qualifying conditions is you're taking an opioid-based medication right now, and in order to kind of wean you off of that opioid, but still get pain relief effects, that's something that you can be prescribed medical marijuana for. So there are just a couple states. I believe there's like three or four states that allow that right now. But that's a really interesting one that states might consider, especially in light of kind of the national trends that are happening right now with opioids and opioid-based medication.
Okay. All right. So now let's talk about access.
So one of the things that we actually found was pretty different between states was certain states will write into their bill, at the municipal level, a municipality can say, we don't want to have a dispensary here, or, you know, they'll allow municipalities to change zoning laws specifically to zone out dispensaries. So that was a thing that happened in certain states. And then you had states, again, like Oklahoma, who said explicitly, municipalities don't have this control. And if a dispensary wants to open up, they should be treated just like any other kind of retail business.
The revenue that a state is able to bring in on medical marijuana has a lot to do with access. Mm-hmm. If you make all these people eligible, but they literally have no access to it, then you're not going to be bringing in a lot of money. Is that a correct line of thinking?
Yeah, and that's a great point. So again, going back to Oklahoma, because they were so lax, even in the first year they've had, I believe, over 2,000 dispensaries or dispensing locations open up. And because of that, they haven't seen the most revenue of any state that has medical, but they've seen on the higher end. And the other thing that they've seen is that the fees applied to their producers to kind of say, you know, you need to pass, you know, this kind of application test, we're going to allow you to dispense. Those fees have been relatively high, and they've gained a lot of revenue from that because they've been so lax about kind of where people can access. But yeah, you're exactly right. If, you know, if you're someone who has, let's say, chronic pain and you want to go and access medical marijuana, if your nearest dispensary is 30 miles away, you might just say, you know, I can just go to my local pharmacy and get some prescription painkillers, and that's going to help me much better. And there might be, you know, differing effects in the long run, but you're much more likely to drive a mile to go to your, you know, local pharmacy versus driving 30 miles to pick up some marijuana.
Taxation. There's this whole question of, can you or should you tax a medicine or something that has a medical purpose? How have states come down on that issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so states have taken different routes to this. There are certain states that don't have a state and local sales tax, so that's out of the question to begin with. Then there are certain states that do have, in general, a state and local sales tax, but choose specifically not to apply it to marijuana in view of medical marijuana kind of being viewed as a medicine. But that's only just a couple states. Most states will apply their regular state and local sales tax to medical marijuana in the same way that it might be applied to, you know, shopping at the grocery store, something like that. And there are even states that have gone further and said, not only do state and local sales taxes apply, but we're also going to apply some sort of excise tax. And this is a kind of tax that you might see applied to something like cigarettes or alcohol, kind of an extra tax that views the product as something that might have perverse consequences to the rest of society.
Isn't that counterintuitive? I don't know. You're the policy guy, but tell me, that seems like mixed messages. Like, we're saying that this can be medicine, but we're also going to apply a similar tax that we put on cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird to say, you know, this is a medicine, but we're going to treat it like it's cigarettes, or we're going to treat it like it's alcohol. And, you know, it's strange to kind of to view that, but that's the policy that states have tended to take so far, which really kind of brings into question, you know, do the people who are writing these laws also view this as a medicine, or do they view it as something that's popular and that people want and people are actually using, but they themselves don't believe that the tax laws that and tax policies that apply to medicine should also apply to marijuana.
Thank you so much for joining us and walking us through this very complicated and convoluted topic that is so quickly evolving. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Ari Brown is a data and research analyst at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and he spoke with WUWM reporter Angelina Mosher-Salazar. You can find a link to the Wisconsin Policy Forum's report on medical marijuana laws at WUWM.com.